It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Ezekiel 25:17.
The path of the downed aviator.
The path of the righteous man is
beset on all sides.
And is beset on all sides.
By the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
It's by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
And I will strike down upon thee with...
And I will strike down upon thee with...
great vengeance and furious anger.
Great vengeance and furious anger.
Those who attempt to capture and destroy my brother.
Those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother.
And you will know my call sign.
And you will know my name
is Sandy One.
Is the Lord.
When I lay my vengeance.
When I lay my vengeance upon thee.
And amen.
And to kick us off, that there was, I don't know who it was actually, I think it was either Pete Hegseth or Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction, but it's really hard to tell the difference.
It is hard to tell the difference when we've now got a US military that's working to a Quentin Tarantino script.
You're of course tuned to a Friday Rave here on Community Radio 3CR, 855 AM, or at all the W's at 3cr.org.au.
Where it's getting... well, not on 3CR, but in a world that's getting harder to separate fact from fiction.
Fact from pulp fiction.
Fact from pulp. Pulp fact.
Pulp.
Let's call it pulp fact.
So that there was Pete Hegseth in the Pentagon just a couple of days ago. Reciting what he claimed was a Bible verse when indeed was kind of a butchered up Bible verse.
Written, he said it was a prayer.
A prayer, sorry. And he then, after he reads this prayer, he then goes on to claim that that was a prayer that was recited by the pilots of Sandy One in the warthogs that went to rescue the soldiers that were downed over Iran.
It's, look, I mean, long-term listeners to a Friday Rave will be aware that I'm not often at a loss for words. But I am. I'm just
imagining what people in the crowd, because I mean everybody knows, everybody who has even an inch of an idea of Quentin Tarantino films or just pop culture generally would know that, recognize that.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just wondering what everyone in the Pentagon was thinking as Pete Hegseth was reciting it. Oh, but just on that, the Democrats have pushed to impeach Pete Hegseth.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
On 6 counts, I think, of illegality, which it probably won't get up because I think in the Congress the Republicans have the upper hand. But,
yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, no, we can do war too. We just do it better than you.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, and this is the crazy thing. This is what we're... this is what we're seeing, and I don't want to say the same thing I say every bloody week, but it's not a, I mean, we can make fun of Pete Hegseth, sure, but it's not about Pete Hegseth. It's like if whoever was the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of War, they wouldn't be saying this shit, but they'd still be doing what they're doing in Iran. And in some ways, I prefer having a right-wing, Christian, clerico-fascist, absolute fucking nut job like Pete Hegseth in there than someone who sort of, you know, demures and explains away this because of that or that because of the other. It's sort of like it's exposed. As Jim Mathis said about Trump, this bloke doesn't even pretend to care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the, I mean, obviously Richard Miles was at the press club yesterday, and I think one of the questions from the, or one of the comments rather, from one of the journalists following his press club's speech announcing the new National Defence Strategy and Integrated Investment Program was said to Richard Miles, "Your counterpart in the US, Pete Hegseth." And I think I just think that's fantastic.
They are. I mean, except that He was sweating right through that.
I know. It was pretty shiny.
I've got to be fair, to be fair, and I try to be fair even to people like, what's his name again? What's his name?
Oh, is he the acting PM defence minister? Oh.
Yeah, defence minister. Dick Miles. He's still defence minister. But I have to be fair even to him that I was actually impressed with his composure, having to stand up there for more than half an hour and talk bullshit that he knew was bullshit because, I mean, he's not a total idiot. I mean, surely he can play the numbers. He runs the right faction of the ALP. He can play the numbers. So he's not a total idiot. And actually stand there and speak without notes and look down the camera and just...
Spin.
It was an art form.
Yeah, an art form in saying absolutely, how to make it sound like you're saying something without saying anything at all.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Richard Miles did in the press club yesterday. I mean, he did start to fray around the edges because there was some...
Once
the questions started coming, and I think that there was some good questions from the floor that were really just kind of picking apart the numbers and asking Richard Miles to speak to the numbers, which he failed to talk about whatsoever, except to say where there's $14 billion increase in defence spending over the next 4 years, and they've increased on top of what they've already committed an additional $53 billion over the next 10 years. And he kept saying, that Labor spending on defence is the largest peacetime defence spending. But it's like the war in Iran is going. Australia is involved. Australia's largest ally has just bombed Iran and continues to bomb Iran. And he's saying that it's in peacetime?
He kept calling it peacetime. But look, we're going to talk about this. This is, of course, the news that the National Defence Strategy...
Yes.
...was released yesterday, and the Defence Minister, gave a speech at the National Press Club, and it was actually a funny little thing. You and I and another close friend sitting down in a lounge room watching him on the big screen yesterday. This is how we spend our lives, my friends and other listeners.
Sitting on our comfy lounge room couch watching... This defence
minister, and it was like
yelling at the screen.
It was hard, and then after I got back from watching the Mighty Pies at the G's final quarter comeback, and saved by a fluffed kick from a Carlton player. Thank God. Look, I admit that I spent too long reading the new defence.
So you don't have to, folks.
But you couldn't, because just before we get there, you were otherwise occupied yesterday evening.
I was otherwise occupied. I was very, very lucky to be asked to be on a panel organised by the Save Public Housing Collective.
Bullshit. They were lucky to have you.
War or public housing. And so it was just a discussion panel with myself, David Shoebridge, Louisa Bassini and Nina, who were working on talking about the impending demolition of the 44 flats, the ongoing issue of public housing going increasingly into private hands and being emptied out into private hands. And so that panel was at the Multicultural Hub last night. So it was really good to be there with the community and talk about those issues and talk about defence. So if you weren't there but you want to listen back, 3CR were there, of course, recording.
Great.
So some of that discussion will be probably being put to air and broadcast on various programs on 3CR.
Oh, great. And it's interesting. Like, I mean, I don't know whether you or anyone else said it. Obviously, I wasn't there. But the whole idea about housing or military spending is it's the ongoing question where how we spend our money. But it strikes me that they're talking about demolishing the block of flats.
44 of them, yeah.
44. Which doesn't surprise me. I mean, when you think of who the, by and large, the residents of these flats are, many people who have come from war-torn countries. And it, look, it's, I don't mean to diminish the pain or make light of what's happening, but the irony that we have our government being involved in supporting the United States and the Israeli government in demolishing these people's houses in Somalia and Sudan and Yemen and Gaza and Lebanon and West Bank and God knows where else. Very, very few, a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of people who have had their whole lives and houses destroyed by the actions of the Australian government, speaking in your name and my name, make it to Australia after often arduous attempts by boats and what have you, get put in a concentration camp, a smaller percentage of them are then let out, another percentage of them are then allowed to stay, another percentage of them are given public housing, and then we say, hey, guess what, folks, we're going to knock your houses down.
We're going to forcibly displace you once again.
We're going to forcibly displace you once again, and take the place that we told you was a safe haven, and you can stand back and watch it again, your home, be destroyed and reduced to rubble. It's, if it wasn't so painful, the irony would almost be funny.
And it's disgusting. I think when we were talking about this yesterday and what I mentioned last night, it was like when we're talking about increased militarisation, the what they call in community safety officers that are now from the City of Melbourne Council that are out hassling people and cops, of course,
yeah.
Homeless people on the streets, is they're making the decision, instead of making the decision to house people, they're arming state thugs to hassle them on the streets.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And in the lead up to this election in November, the state election, it's often said that defence spending and everything is a federal issue, not a state one, but it is also a state issue. And we're going to get into the NDS in a minute, but I just wanted to say for a moment, don't buy the bullshit that the Victorian state government, or any state government if you listen to this in another state, have nothing to do with spending money on defence. The states are competing with each other, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars that could be used for housing,
mm-hmm.
or any other, or education or health or anything else that's meant to save and enhance lives rather than destroy them. But instead they're spending it on competing with each other to house military bases, house military industry. It's
and to allow private companies to profit off such forcible displacement, just like they are with housing in terms of yep. increased privatisation, means that private companies and developers are going to get a kickback.
Yeah.
And then in 20, 10, 30 years' time, they're going to own that land and sell it off, and then people who rely on public housing
won't have it. Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's this increasing push towards privatisation in all elements, because actually the government doesn't care. It doesn't want to be responsible for people in public housing. It doesn't want to be responsible for people's health. The Footscray Hospital costs $1.5 billion, a new Footscray Hospital. And it was only 6 years ago that the COVID pandemic happened and hospitals were totally overwhelmed, completely.
Absolutely.
And the government are spending $786 billion over the next decade on defence when it costs $1.5 billion to build a new hospital. And we've got people and workers who are working in those hospitals during COVID, which we know with climate crisis, there's going to be an increase of these sort of events that are going to happen. And the state is choosing to build more guns, more missiles, be involved in wars wherever the US and Israel want to go, and spend money on that, on fabricating a fake war with China, and spend money on finding more and more efficient ways to kill people rather than to be there and help in health and housing where they need to be. And that's what the role of the state is.
Yeah, and this is even against our own advice, because let's go back before COVID. 2 years before COVID, the Department of Defence commissioned a report on the greatest threats to Australia. And the highest was the risk of a pandemic.
Mm.
And the next highest was the effects of climate change. So the government's, the Defence Department's own report told them that these are the two highest threats to Australian security.
And prior to COVID also, the hospitals knew that they wouldn't be able to deal, they would be overrun in this sort of instance.
Yeah. But this is it. But let's get on to this National Defence. Oh, geez.
Sorry, I've been a bit crook, everyone. So yeah. Please excuse my coffin and spluttering.
Which is one of the reasons you're recording earlier in the day on Friday, rather than being in at the studio and submitting the rest of the 3CR community.
I'm not contagious.
No, she's not contagious, I know, but it's... well, if you were, I wouldn't be here sitting across the desk from you. okay, so the National Defence Strategy. I went through and read it after I got back from the game last night. Now, the interesting...
Lucky you.
Yeah, sad life. The sad life of your 3CR Friday Rave correspondence. But the first thing I noticed about it was that there was nothing new in it. It's the old words were there, were replaced with new words, I guess I should say, meaning the same thing. There's a return after an absence of a couple of years to the terminology of the global rules-based order. And, you know, I reckon if I ever get bored enough, I can print out this one and the one from 2024 and actually do a kind of spot the difference cartoon between them, because there isn't any difference. They kept referring to the Integrated Investment Program, which is the document that outlines where defence will be spending its money over the next few years, and there's nothing new there, really. I mean, the only changes reflect the changes in technology. Mm. It's all bullshit. Both documents look to be nothing more than corporate reports aimed at keeping everybody happy and attracting investment and satisfying its client base. And its client base, of course, is the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason for what's the main driving force for what Australia's military do is to make itself relevant to the United States. And I think next week we're going to have Clinton Fernandez.
We are.
On the show, and we'll be talking about that too, and the concept of why Australian military is doing what it's doing and within the context of being a sub-imperial power. Sorry, I've got it too. But everyone knows it's bullshit. Everybody in the game knows it's bullshit. You read, whether you're reading any of the military journals, the analysis of the National Defence Strategy, everybody's attacking it as bullshit. It's and even if it wasn't, I just said this is a 10-year plan. The last 10-year plan was put out 2 years ago.
Mm.
So what's to make us believe even for a moment that there won't be another new 10-year plan put out in 2028?
Well, they're saying that it's going to be the National Defence Strategy is released every 2 years. So for the next, we're going to see five over the next 10 years.
Exactly. Mm. So how can you have a 10-year plan that's going to be revised every 2 years? It's madness. It's madness. Well, we think this is any different. The big thing that's different is that it's made the news in ways that previous National Defence Strategies haven't.
Mm.
And that's partly because we're at war.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We are at war.
And public trust in the US and the Australia's alliance with the US is absolutely waning.
Yeah.
That's true. And so there is a public interest in it. And I think one of the things that Richard Miles kept talking about yesterday, and I guess, you know, when you're talking about the military strategists and people in defence and military at the high up are saying that, you know, saying all of the that the US naval defence industrial base is behind schedule. And Richard Miles continued to push this line that, oh, you'll hear commentary, but they're actually on track. That's a flat-out lie. Yeah. And so the commentary, he's kind of passing off people who are experts in their field.
Yeah.
Talking about the commentary, who know how this defence industrial base works, who are talking about that this is a bullshit plan, and he's saying that's just commentary. And so they're not even taking into consideration, just like they didn't with the defence before COVID, their own report, they're not even taking into consideration expert opinion, if you want to call it that.
Expert opinion.
Yeah.
It's but industry air quotes, opinion.
Industry opinion. Yeah. So expert opinion actually doesn't matter because it comes down to industry and what industry wants. And we're going to see increasingly with this, one of the main kind of things that was highlighted in the Integrated Investment Program is that we're going to see a massive increase in industry and private capital's interests in defence and growing defence, because they're increasing the amount of private venture capital investment into bolstering Australia's defence industrial base.
That's right. And look, this is going to sound weird coming from over. There's all this talk about the increase in defence spending, the increase in defence budget. And the truth is, it's not actually there. Because the United States, basically, is pushing Australia to spend more, what we've done, what the Australian government has done, is it's changed the way it allocates money to the defence budget.
Mm-hmm.
Like in previous times, veterans housing, veterans health, and a whole lot of other bits and pieces weren't included in the defence budget. So now they're talking what they say the NATO model. And Miles was questioned about this after his press club talk, and he keeps saying that that he's comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges, by comparing the way we're spending to the way Europe's spending. But what he's not addressing is that if you're going to compare apples to apples, you need to compare the percentage GDP this year with the percentage GDP in previous years. And that hasn't gone up. Our defence spending by the Department of Defence hasn't actually increased. It's all smoke and mirrors.
Mm.
And that's a strange scene coming from a Friday rave where we're normally talking about how much money...
It's still exorbitant.
It's still exorbitant, but the point is... Oh, gosh. The point is the whole of government approach.
Yes.
All right, that there's so many things that still aren't included in defence. But this changing accounting methods... It's voodoo economics, basically.
Yeah, and I think what we have mentioned on the show before about what, you know, that shifting of the numbers and the changing in the economics is, you know, we've mentioned on the show critical minerals.
Yeah.
And how much this whole of government approach in terms of resource extraction will then come under the umbrella of defence. So it looks like there is an increase in spending, but the money is allocated, but it just is... the umbrella is getting bigger, I guess, of what comes under defence. And, I mean, this has been happening for a long time with dual use.
Forever.
Yeah. Forever. You know, yeah. Dual use commercial items still come under defence and under the legislative umbrella of defence.
And that's it. So what this is doing, it's the defence strategy and integrated investment program and all the press releases and media appearances and all the rest of it, around this, it's arguing two different sides of the same line. it's saying to the Australian public and the Australian people that we're being, what's the word, economic, responsible with our spending and, you know, rah, 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 we're doing the minimum that we need to come into line with NATO and that's all we're doing. And at the same time, it's saying to the United States, yes, you see, we are doing this, blah, blah, blah. And then they're saying to the global corporation of the defence manufacturers, yes, we're going to continue providing you with money to... It's just... It's an advertising campaign. It's like a stock fucking portfolio.
Yeah, well, I mean, and of course that was very blindingly obvious by the people that were in the room. Yeah. You know, it was BAE Systems, it was Thales, it was Nioa, it was Lockheed Martin.
Oh,
it was, yeah. Richard Miles was talking to a room full of people that he'll be, once he's finished as defence minister, even though he's still defence minister, he'll be rubbing shoulders with in the revolving door.
He'll be on a board of one of these companies or he'll have his own company advising him. But then he's got like one of the figures too. The other thing is you mentioned, you alluded to it a moment ago, is bringing money in from corporations, private investment.
Yes.
There's $20 billion, apparently, of private investment.
$20
billion? $20 billion.
Yes.
Did I say million? Sorry. $20 billion is what this report cost.
Yeah.
$20 billion of private investment. Now, the kind of people who can put $20 billion, it's an investment. They're going to expect a return on their investment. That is what an investment is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this is like a pump. We don't know where it's going to be yet, but it's like a public-private enterprise partnership. And these people are going to have a say in how our defence equipment, policy, whatever, is being used.
Mm-hmm.
This is like exactly the same thing is happening to defence that happened to public transport, that happened to hospitals, that happened to universities, that happened to the electricity. It's the privatisation, even in part. I'm not saying we're going straight all the way to a private defence force, although we will soon.
Mm-hmm. And they already exist, folks.
They already exist. So that's where we're heading to.
And I think that, you know, that's a big part is like that there is going to be, and Richard Miles, you know, went on to say that this is not a new thing. You know, this is not new. It's happened before. But $20 billion. I mean, and there is like one company, Beaten Zone, that I've had a look at who has sort of were Reading, who's run by a former military brass. I can't remember his name now, but Beaten Zone has been setting itself up as a venture capital firm, particularly for this.
For the
and
military.
So, you know, when I looked at this venture capital firm about a year ago, I went to their website, and it was all still Lorem Ipsum. So they're a very new company that really had nothing. So, but you know, this is the kind of venture capital firm that is going to be getting contracts or investing in Australia's defence. And what we're also going to see is even less transparency around this because, of course, that's going to be all of these, that money is going to be commercial in confidence and you're not going to be able to see actually where that money is going or what those contracts look like, even less transparency. And even the figures of defence that Richard Miles was talking about that they're not going to – I mean, we just spoke about the other week about the auditor's report ceasing – to continue, the Auditor General's report, but also Richard Miles kind of made a big song and dance of being like, oh, we're not hiding the numbers because it was said that we're not going to have a figure about the percentage of GDP anymore. He's like, no, it's all there. All you have to do is look at the budget. You have to look at all of the contracts. You have to FOI, which you're never going to get, all the information. All the figures are there. We're being totally transparent.
All you've got to do is work out which of the pockets in my suit I'm keeping them in.
That's exactly right. I just looked at we're out of time.
Already. Oh, okay.
That's enough from us this week and we'll be at you next week.
More next week with Clinton Fernandez.